daydreaming about dragons. Okay. So your friend comes to you and they say, hey, I'm designing a role-playing game. This is what you, a good friend, should do. I have some experience with this. I've done it wrong, and I've done it right. So I'm going to help you to do it right, too. And hopefully, this will help encourage more game designers in the world. Are you ready to be a good friend? I know you are. I know you are. Everybody wants to be a good friend. And what you have to do is easy. Ready? Here's what you do. First, you ask, what's it about? What's it about? Tell me about it. What inspired it? What's on your mind? How are you writing it? Where are you? Is it a Google Doc? Is it a bunch of notes? Then you say, let's play. Let's play this thing. When you're ready, let's play this thing. Okay. Awesome. You've asked questions. You've engaged. You've shown you're interested. You've let them geek out about it. You've let them get excited. Their excitement has infected you. That's how excitement works. You're in a good place. You're ready to play this game. This is where people make mistakes. Okay? When you're playing a game with a friend and it's a playtest, here's what I want you to do. Might sound revolutionary. I've seen people do it wrong. Here you go. You ready? It's so simple. You're gonna be like, I can't believe Judd has to say this. Here's what I want you to do. Play the game and have fun. Do your best to have fun. It might not be fun yet. That's okay. Play the game. And just do it. Don't overdo it. Don't get nuts. Don't do backflips off the table. Just play the game earnestly and try to have fun. Don't put on your super smarty guy game designer hat. Don't talk about the Annies you were nominated for. Don't do any of that nonsense. Play the game earnestly. That's it. If they say something that you have to do that's cool, say, cool, I hope that's in the rules. Because that's awesome. At the end of the game, offer feedback if and when they ask for it. If they don't, then don't. And as a good friend, you should say, hey, keep going with this. Keep pushing. If the session was a disaster that led to the house you were gaming in to be burned down, make sure everyone's okay. Round up and count all the pets and the kids, and then turn to the game designer and say, keep pushing on this. Keep designing. That was a tough session. Maybe the next one won't light a house on fire. Okay? That is what I want you to do. Be earnest. Take part. Don't be a smarty pants. Your friend designing a game is not an opportunity for you to show how smart you are. That's not what's going on. It's not what's going on. And I have done that wrong. I've done it wrong. I've been a bad playtester. Play. It's the first part of playtester. Play. Give them feedback when they, and if they ask for it. You know, something that you might see as an issue might not be an issue. That might be the game you have to design. And that's a perfectly reasonable response. I did a podcast interview years ago. And a podcaster who I respected came up to me and said, I heard your interview with, I think it was John Wick. I heard your interview with John Wick. And I was like, oh, great, thanks. And he was like, yeah, you fucked that up so badly that now I have to interview him again because you messed it up so much. And I was like, oh, good. I'm looking forward to seeing your interview. Now, I took it in good humor, because he said it in a humorous way and I liked it. But being so frustrated with another game that you have to design a game yourself is perfectly reasonable grounds for game design. So if that's what that display does, great. Or if it reminds you of something you want to do and inspires you, great. But what it shouldn't inspire you is for you to try to game design on top of your friend and be like, hey, I know you're doing this thing with Moldvay D&D, but powered by the apocalypse, baby. It's the only way to go. That's nonsense. Don't do that. Let them launch from the launching point where they want to be launched from. How many times can I say the word launch? Let them build on the foundation that they want to build on. Don't be a smarty pants. Goodness. Goodness gracious. Be a good friend. Take part. I feel like this lesson, this game design lesson, is applicable to many things when you stretch it out. Many, many things. So many things in the world are not an opportunity for you to be smart. So that's what you do. And the other thing you can traditionally do when someone says, oh, I'm designing a game, you ask them what's it about, and then you kind of say, I'm so sorry. Because designing a game is a grind. It's often thankless. It's frequently profitless. Advanced playtesting, being a good friend, make sure that they're not going to go into debt and destroy their economic life by creating this game. That's a big thing. Make sure that that's not happening. Hey, in publishing this, you got it? It's going to be something that you can handle? If you've got a friend who you can talk about, if it's a friend who you can talk to about money, check in with them if it's that kind of friend. If it's not, that's cool too. But if it is, check in. Make sure they're not going to, hawk grandma's jewels or mortgage the house to get this game design brilliant out in the world. There are other ways to do it nowadays. It's the main lesson of The Forge, to my mind. Don't mortgage your house to make a game. Got it? Cool. Cool, cool. Be a good friend to your game designer friends. And if they're gaming with you, they're probably a game designer friend. You know, you hear me? Good. Inspiration, go. Let's do it. Come on, Inspiration Goat. All of them? All right. Okay. Just one in particular? All right, here we go. We're going to talk about monster manuals today. I feel like I got my start GMing by lovingly taking the Monster Manual 1 and 2 in the Fiend Folio and leafing through them for my entire teenage life. From 13 to 18, that was a thing. They were almost always next to my bed, and I would just leaf through them, read weird descriptions, and now, unbidden, I can say weird details about the death slod that I had no idea I had memorized because of this. Now, am I saying to memorize things about the monster manuals? No, that's not what I'm saying. I just think they're super, it's a super fun way to look through and daydream in an active manner. Okay, especially if you're running a game in which monster manuals are a thing, right? And thinking about different weird monsters, thinking about what a world looks like in which they exist, looking at each one, thinking what happens to a village when they're near a lair of one of these creatures? What occurs, right? If it's a good creature, what happens to a village that's near a unicorn, right? Do they really like fetishize virginity suddenly? Is there a convent, a kind of druidic convent that has nuns that tend to the unicorn? Weird. It gets weird. It gets weird fast. It doesn't take long for you to look at a weird old legend that's steeped in patriarchy and grossness and just have it get weird in a big freaking hurry. And it gets weirder as the monsters get weirder, right? So my favorite ones, and I don't play Pathfinder, but I like the bestiaries, like, way at the ass end of things, right? I've got out the Bestiary 5, right? And I just like it when they're just out of golems to make up. They don't know. The designer is reaching. They're like, we need a new type of ooze. What? How about a gunpowder ooze? That's a thing in this book. What does a gunpowder ooze do? I have no idea. Does it change the world? Do you end up farming those oozes and shoving them into barrels so you can fire musket balls at people? Maybe. Maybe your world changes. It's just a fun way to actively daydream. And it doesn't have to be a monster manual, right? You can grab an old bestiary. You can grab a National Geographic. You can grab a cool kind of history dictionary book where it's like the dictionary of the Roman times. Anything that gives you your daydreaming just a little bit of guidance, right? It's like water going through a sluice. Rather than the water just dropping on the ground and kind of evaporating, having a book like this in front of you can just put it through the sluice, give it a direction. Give your daydreaming a little bit of a oomph, right? I just like it. I like it when it just starts to get strange. And I mean, Monster Manuals 1 and 2 and Fiendfolio in particular, are pretty strange. But I like the weird end of the line Monster Manuals when the designers are just getting a bit desperate, and they're like, I don't know, a nightmare dragon, you know? Well, I don't know, what's that? I don't know. What does that mean, a nightmare dragon? What does it mean for a village to be near a lair of a nightmare dragon? It's cool stuff. I love it. Love it. Love it when it just gets weird to the point of crazy. And it's not like it takes long, right? Because it does not take long. You know, read over their powers. Read over, see what inspires you. Who knows what it'll be? Who knows what it'll be? You know, have a notebook nearby. Write some stuff down. Hey, you know what? I'm putting a nightmare dragon on this random encounter table. It's in the mix now. And see what happens. And don't feel like you have to go exactly by what's in the book. You know, because I'm definitely thinking about of a situation where the players, a nightmare dragon attacks, right, in their dreams. Everybody dies, and then they wake up. But one piece of treasure is really gone. Because the nightmare dragon got you, and he put it back in his lair. Oof. Woof. That would piss them off. And you're too close to his lair. You know he's coming. You know the nightmare dragon's coming again tomorrow. Boom. Encounter. Designed. I didn't even read the nightmare dragon. I'm just kind of open to the page. Love it. Love it. Love Monster Manuals. Cool art. And there are so many nowadays. We're in a time of ridiculous, amazing wealth of Monster Manuals. In my dream personal library, I have a shelf that is all Monster Manuals. That's all that's there. Monster Manuals, top to bottom. Oh, someday, dream house, someday. But mostly what you want to do is look at these monsters, think about what a world looks like with them in it, really. Think about how people would be reacting to them, right? And it doesn't mean the monster has to be active right now. You know, if you've got these weird golems that are the size of houses, you know, maybe they were deactivated 300 years ago, but they're still in the fields rusting. People build swings off them now. Have fun. Give your daydreaming a little bit of direction with some Monster Manuals. The weirder, the better. and the, you know, just go grab them. Go grab them. You know, there's a Friends of the Library book sale here in Ithaca, and I think the next time there is one, I might go see if I can find some old monster manuals. Might have to do that. Cool. All right. More info in the outro. Let's get to it. If you would like to support Daydreaming About Dragons, thank you. I appreciate that. Here's how you do it. You can hit the support this show button and drop me some money every month. That's appreciated. You can purchase the Dictionary of Mu, which is my swords and sorcery science fantasy version of Mars, somewhere between the three points. If there's a triangle, and the three points of the triangle were the Bible, Kull the Conqueror, and Barsoom, Dictionary of Mu would be in the middle of that. So if those three points sound interesting, pick it up. Let me know what you think. And the other way to support is to drop me an email. Let me know. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Have you seen something like this at your table? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear what's going on with you. If you have any questions, you want to hear some follow-up to something I said a weird sentence, and you're like, what does that sentence mean? Let me know. If you want to disagree respectfully and with love in your heart, that's great too. I'll definitely put that out. And I do a midweek reply show on Wednesdays. So if you send me something, and I can, I'll put it in a Wednesday midweek reply show. Okay? Sounds good? All right. Thank you for listening. I will see you next time. Talk to you Wednesday. Postscript. So I thought about this, the part about playtesting, and I think that a lot of that came from a conversation I had with Emily Carebos and Epidaya Ravichal. So I've added Epidaya's amazing Patreon to the links, and I've added Emily's Black and Green Games to the links in the show. Thank you, Emily and Epi, for being amazing people and for just being stimulating friends who inspire me to make cool stuff and say cool stuff on a podcast. I appreciate it. I'm pretty sure some of that came from talking to them. And I don't know exactly what or exactly when. I'm not even positive it's so, but I'm getting like a memory tickle as I watch people talk about it online. So I'm adding a postscript. There you go. Thank you for listening, and see you on Wednesday.